This week's episode of the Run, Eat, Drink podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Head on over to patreon.com/runeatdrinkpodcast and subscribe today. Fans, founders, and insiders like you help us keep the Run, Eat, Drink podcast going, and we thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Jeff Galloway, and you are listening to the Run, Eat, Drink podcast.
Welcome to the Run, Eat, Drink podcast. We feature destination races from across the country. And after the race, we take you on a tour of the best local food and beverage to celebrate. So whether you are an elite runner or a back of the packer like us, you'll know the best places to accomplish, explore, and indulge on your next runcation.
Hey, welcome to episode 121 of the Runny Drink Podcast. I'm your host, Amy.
And I'm your co-host, Dana. Welcome to our palindrome episode.
121. It's the well, same.
I guess 111 same. Would be a palindrome also.
Oh, okay. So we have palindromes. The word for today, according to our intrepid co-host, is palindrome. And palindrome means that's the same
backwards and forwards.
Yes. So now that we've had that lesson, we can get to the running, eating, drinking portions of our show. And whoa, I'm a little giddy because we have a great show.
We do. And it's so nice when we have a guest stop by. And
especially this one.
And especially in this time. So it's all very socially distanced. It was all done over the magic of the internet.
The magic of the internet, our fabulous equipment, and a phone call with the one, the only, America's coach, Jeff Galloway.
And we said that we were going to get a special guest on here to talk about hot weather training.
Yeah.
And since we have mentioned maybe once or twice on the show that it's hot when we're training here in Florida.
I know. We kind of whine and complain about it, you think?
We could actually make a segment of the show.
I know.
About like, that.
Let's just spend these 5 minutes
complaining about the heat.
Whining, moaning, having a little wine with the cheese and all that. Whatever you want to say. Yes, it's hot. It's humid. It's rough. But we see others in the Runcation Nation post about that as well.
Yes.
Throughout the country.
And then, you know, we get to see it when they're posting about their winter running and all that, yes. Which we don't have to deal with, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
So Jeff was kind enough to come on the show and Yay. Give us some tips and tricks for doing hot weather training. And he's also got some special announcements about something cool that he's doing.
Yes.
So we're going to listen to that interview in a few minutes.
So excited for that. Plus, we're going to drop some Dunedin eats and fabulous beer for you from our time when we were able to travel to Clearwater, because Dunedin is not that far off from Clearwater.
Dunedin, Florida is maybe 10 minutes away.
Yes.
It's a nice little town by the water. A lot of Scottish heritage there.
Love it. And we love Dunedin Brewery for its food and beverage that we'll share today. Embrace your Scottish heritage. Oh. Do you have the kilt on?
I do. I'm wearing the kilt as we speak.
Yeah, you're wearing the kilt. Because if you see us at races, or if you see us ever running here locally, usually Dana will be sporting his Scottish heritage and running in a kilt.
I usually, well, you know, if they tell me I have to wear pants or something similar to pants, then I wear something similar to pants. But
when have they ever told you have to run in pants?
Well, I mean, just society in general.
Oh, society.
Generally okay. speaking, if I leave All the right. house, they want pants on. So,
oh, well, gotta cover up. You just have to have a bottom. Type of
so I typically go covering. With a kilt if I'm not going to work. Just,
yeah. Okay.
She, by the way, she has no idea what I'm going to say when we sit down in front of these microphones. No. So she's like, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
Scottish heritage. I can't.
Oh boy.
I can't do it. I'm sorry.
So.
You know why? I'm giddy. I'm coming off the interview and a little bit and I'm coming off an 8-miler today. Woo!
Yeah, you let's talk about running here. You were able to achieve something I didn't, which was I did not get my full long run in.
Not for lack of trying, man.
But you did.
Not for lack of trying, and We don't have a treadmill in this house.
Anymore.
It broke, so we ditched it. We may have to look into that.
You enjoy that.
But I don't know. I don't like running on treadmill if I don't have to. I like being outdoors and because I feel like I should run of my own volition,
yes.
My own strength, my own stamina, my own endurance and all of that. So we tried on Sunday, which is typically a long run day. We would get up, you know, at Oh Dark Ridiculous, but there was thunder, lightning, and rain, as our dogs could attest, because our boy dog was hiding under the bed.
Under the bed, then under us, yeah. Then under the covers, then, yeah.
So it was just crazy out there. And then finally, when we got a break in the day, I know I'm telling the whole entire story here. You know, I should just shut up. But later on in the day, we're like, oh, it's in the evening. You know, the sun's going down. The humidity is reducing. Let's get out there. Let's do it. We got out there for 2 miles, and the rain and thunder and lightning started again.
Yep.
So we had to postpone, and I was lucky enough to be off today so I could do it this morning.
And how'd that go?
Slow. I knew I wasn't going to do anything for time. I knew I just wanted to get the distance in. I wanted to get the endurance from the longer run, since this is the longer run weekend. I can't believe that it was just 2 weeks ago that we were doing long runs and exploring Clearwater, but no. So I did it here in our neighborhood, and I kept the loops short, except for when I just got, you know, a wild source of inspiration and went a little bit too far and ran out of water, and you had to come special delivery from Craft Services.
I'm at work, and I get a text message. She tells me where she's at, which is at least 2 miles from the house.
More.
And I'm out of water.
It was three. I know. I should have kept it shorter.
And I'm like, so, didn't take your running, your hydration pack with you,
So what have we learned? I know. You drove up, handed me the water. What have we learned?
Special delivery.
Special delivery, which I really appreciate.
So what have we learned?
Take the hydration pack if I'm going to go on the longer loops.
Yes.
So that's it.
You got to, I mean, I get it. The hydration pack's, 2 liters of water.
It's heavy.
And we have really nice ones. They're Camelback Lobos. They're really made with runners and cyclists in mind. Yeah. They're a low profile pack.
They've got adjustable straps.
Yeah, and it has storage for your keys and other stuff. But
nutrition.
The fact of the matter is, you're talking 2 liters of water.
That's
heavy. And unless you're just really accustomed to running in it, it's not fun.
And if you don't fill it up all the way, then you kind of suffer from the sloshing.
Not if you suck the air out of the bladder.
Oh, I should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things you learn when you record a podcast with your husband who has tested these things.
I'll walk you through that.
Okay.
Next time.
Okay. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. Pro tip.
Pro tip.
Suck the air out of the bladder. There's our episode title.
Wow. No. That's not it.
But the point being, you know, when you run out of water like that, so call somebody and get some water delivered to you. So
if you're lucky enough to have an amazing husband like I do.
Aww.
Because this, I should also say, this is kind of, I'm interjecting. We are celebrating a couple of different things this coming weekend. And one of them is our amazing coach's 75th birthday.
Yes.
But we are also celebrating 22 years of marriage.
Yes.
And when you're married to an amazing man, like, will you quit that?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Stop rolling your eyes. When you are married to an amazing man like I am, he will deliver water to you when you run out of water on a training run. He will send you motivational text messages. He will tell you you can do it. He will lecture you just ever so slightly about what have we learned? Take the running pack with you when the water, the water hydration pack.
He'll chime in on your Instagram live and say, if only you own the hydration pack.
Yeah. You know, but I wouldn't have it any other way the last 22 years. And especially the last, 10 years now of our running journey together. 10 years of running.
So we've actually been running 6 years longer than we've been podcasting about running.
Yes. So happy anniversary to the one I love most of all.
Oh, happy anniversary.
And thank you for all you do for me.
Including bringing you water on long runs.
Exactly. And that's how it relates to the running segment of our show today.
Craft services, everyone.
Craft services. We need a shirt. Anybody out there who is willing to, send him a shirt that says craft services.
Oh, well, I'm sure that we could talk to our friends at Pure Creative Apparel. They'd probably hook us up with craft services shirt.
Ariel, if you're listening.
So you got your 8-miler in. I wish I could say the same. Like I said, I did the 2 miles yesterday. I did a couple of 5Ks during the week for training.
Yeah.
Neither of which were very fast because...
Also the heat.
Because of the heat.
Yeah. You could technically be enrolled in another one of Jeff Galloway's challenges. We're enrolled in the 75 miles for July.
Oh, we haven't talked about that yet.
And we haven't talked about that yet because we talk about it in our chat with him today. But we are very motivated by virtual runs, virtual races, and virtual challenges. And we talked today with Jeff Galloway about training tips for the heat, because everybody is feeling it according to what we've seen on social media from the Runcation Nation. So we talk about that and ways that you can stay safe and train. And we also talk about Jeff's 75th birthday challenge.
And that's going to be a series or three options for you to join in this virtual event, celebrate his birthday. Yeah. He said there's going to be some great giveaways they're going to be doing as well.
Apparently.
So
if you're registered for it, stay tuned.
Without further ado, why don't we just get right to the interview?
Yeah, let's just talk with Jeff about all of this fabulous stuff.
We'll be right back. Well, Amy, speaking of hot weather, because heaven knows we've had more than our fair share.
Oh, my goodness.
Last week, we talked about the possibility of getting someone special on to talk to the Runcation Nation about what to do with all this hot weather.
Having completed 8 miles in the heat this morning, I am so looking forward to hearing the motivation, the inspiration from this very special guest. We welcome back to our show America's coach, our coach, someone who is celebrating something very special that we will talk about this month, and we congratulate him on the newest member of his family. All of these things we are so happy to celebrate as we welcome Mr. Jeff Galloway to the show. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous, and it is always great to talk to you, Amy and Dana. Y'all are doing a real good service for your folks out there, and I'm pleased to help.
Well, we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes out of your day to come and talk with us again. And can I just say, we miss you.
We do.
We would have already seen you a couple of times this year. And we miss our Jeff fix.
Yeah.
Well, Barb and I are suffering withdrawal from not seeing people and being around folks and solving those problems in person. Fortunately, we have the online capability, so we are doing a lot of Zoom clinics and classes, but it's not the same. You know, we wish we were together too.
Yeah, we try to jump in on your town halls on YouTube, and we try to get our fix any way we can with your special messages that you record, and we we just look so forward to the time where we can be with you, cross a finish line, like at the Donna or at a Run Disney event or at your own half marathon again.
Well, it will happen. We just have to have our patience right now.
Yep.
And let this thing just go in the direction that the medical authorities can hopefully help some control.
Safety first, yes, absolutely.
So, Jeff, now I know that you're actually getting some exercise in as we're talking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that. What are you up to?
Well, my routine is to usually average about 15 to 16,000 steps a day. So
wow.
I go out and run with, of course, a lot of walk breaks, three or four times a day. So it's not often that I will get in my steps at one time, maybe every 2 weeks. But I also do exercise on an elliptical bicycle that's called the Elliptigo. And
I've
I
seen this at your expo
workouts on that. So I just got off half an hour on that. That was pretty hard, mainly because, like you have, we have high humidity. And I was feeling it during the last 15 minutes of that workout.
Now,
so you were outside, right?
Yes.
Oh.
And I was going to say, out of curiosity, what's the weather like up there in Hotlanta today?
Yes.
Well, it's been right around the 90 point for the last week. It'll go up above it or slightly below it. It rained earlier this afternoon, and so that knocked a little bit of the heat off. It's probably only about 85 degrees now, but it is very humid.
Well, and that brings us to what the reason we really wanted to get you on the show,
right?
To talk with the Runcation Nation and give some of our listeners some of your wisdom and insight of what runners can do training in this heat. I know, like with Amy and I, we normally start our half marathon training season in July.
Yeah.
So we're... I don't want to say we're used to it. I
no.
mean, listeners here, you know, who hear us, you know, complain about it on a weekly basis. No, we're not used to it, but we at least expect it. But, but this seems to be, at least down our way, an exceptionally hot and humid summer. So, you know, when you have conditions like that, are there some basic tips, some general knowledge stuff, and then maybe we'll get into some more advanced stuff that you could recommend runners do?
For sure.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you alluded to it a little earlier, but we, Barb and I, were down in Claremont, Florida just a little over a week ago, and we were there for a full week, and I went out every morning because I know that before the sun gets above the horizon is the very best time to get in a workout, particularly a run. So I would do that. And then Barb is usually a late rider. So we would get out maybe about 9:30 or 10. And the difference was huge, as you know. It's just a dramatic increase in intensity. So particularly if it's a longer workout you're doing, always better to do as much of it as you can in those pre-dawn hours. Our program's out in Texas, where it is actually usually a little worse than it is in Florida. Get up around 2 or 3 in the morning on long run days.
Early.
That means they get in most, sometimes all of their miles before the sun hits them, and you know what happens then. Everything is a lot worse. So it's best to avoid the sun if at all possible. The next thing, though, is really an amazing way to cope with hot weather, whether you have to run in the sun or not. But it even works when you're running in the sun. And that is the ice water treatment. So what you do is you fill an ice chest full of ice water, and you stage your run so that it's in short loops. I have one e-coach client that only goes half a mile, and others will go between 1 and 2 miles.
So they're shorter.
At the end of each loop, you douse yourself with 2 or 3 cups of ice water. It is amazing how that cools you off.
It is so true. I actually took advantage of that towards the end of the 8-miler that I did today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kept it nice and short in the neighborhood so that I would be close to the house. And I put ice water in the driveway. And I actually used some of those Dr. Cool cooling towels.
Those help.
Yeah.
So now this doesn't just provide you like a temporary relief. This actually is helping cool that core body temperature is what you're saying.
It really does, because if you have the right microfiber singlet on, then tank top, then it'll absorb there, and it gives you a lasting cooling effect for depending on how long the loop is, it can give you a relief the whole loop.
So the shorter the better in that case.
Yeah.
And you just alluded to what you wear matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The microfiber type of garments will take just enough fluid in, and then the rest of it, once it's absorbed, is going to drip out so that you're not carrying a real heavy shirt.
Yeah.
And then the surface of those microfiber garments are, as you move yourself, walking and running, there's an evaporation effect, and that's where the cooling comes.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, Jeff, is you're not going to be the spokesperson for the cotton board today on the Runny Drink podcast.
Yes.
Not 100% cotton in these conditions.
Not a good idea. You will get a weight workout by wearing cotton.
I've made that mistake in the past. I just grabbed a shirt thinking, oh, it won't be that bad. And then come to find out that your shirt gets soaked and it doesn't get lighter. It doesn't evaporate fast enough, especially in the humidity.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that Barb is a late riser and you're an early riser.
Yes.
So for those late risers out there, or for those who can't get maybe those early morning hours, or something in their schedule is just preventing them from doing the pre-dawn hour situation, what do you recommend that they do?
Well, there are several options. The first one is to strategically look at the weather, the temperature for the day as it's predicted, and then schedule the run if you can during a time period when it might be breezy, or you can choose a course that has shade on it, and you can break up the distance of a run in several increments. If it's a short run, you can go just 5 to 10 minutes at a time and just stage them, if you can, throughout the day to get that in. Even on a long run, it's okay to take a half hour break to cool off. So that a lot of people will take a cold shower and get a snack, and then take right back off for the next segment.
And I was going to ask you about this because I saw that segment on your website dealing with the heat at jeffgalloway.com. You talked about breaking up a 30-minute run by doing 10, 10, and 10 in different segments.
Right.
So, and there are going to be a lot of runners really that's going to make their ears perk up, and they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, but will that still give me the same training effect? Am I going to be losing benefits?
Right.
Or are you saying that you can do that and still get the same training benefit?
Absolutely. And that research has been replicated a lot of times around the world, taking the classic 30-minute workout and having people, one group that does that, then take another group that does 3 10-minute segments. Mm. And so in most of those studies, the people in that those studies were doing their workouts every other day or 3 days a week. Oh. But it's really been shown that you get the same benefit. You don't lose any conditioning doing 3 10-minute segments versus a 30-minuter.
And during a long run, how much of a break is appropriate? Like if you're headed out there for 8, 10, 12 miles or more?
Well, I recommend no more than 30 minutes. And you could probably go up to an hour or so. But the problem that I found in coaching clients is that if people wait more than 30 minutes, they often don't get back out there.
Yeah.
Muscles start tightening up.
Or motivation gets lower.
That's right.
Yeah. So that is. And then let me ask, in terms of the heat, a lot of runners will be like, well, you know, if I slow down too much, I won't get the right training effects from my short runs or my long runs. How slow is too slow?
There is no pace that's too slow for maintenance. Now, that said, runners have all types of different workout components on short run days in order to improve. And you have to watch that if you're doing speed work on a really hot day, because it's really dangerous to run too hard. And that is the really number one reason for deaths in running. So you really should work on finding a time during the week, if you're doing a speed workout, that is not too hot, and then also using the ice chest concept, because you could pour ice water over your head at the end of each speed repetition, and it works the same way it does on long runs. It's really delightful.
Mm.
Now, many times when we've heard your talks, say at a Run Disney event or even at your event when you're giving a talk, you'll talk about when you're training in temperatures above, I want to say 60 or 65 degrees, and you give people some of the, you drop some science on them and you say,
yeah, some math.
Here's what you need to do and take into account how you need to adjust your pace. Could you kind of walk our listeners through that a little bit?
Yes. The research shows, and it's quite formidable research, that above 55 degrees Fahrenheit, when you exert yourself, core body temperature starts to rise. Now, for those, particularly those that are trained and live in hot climates like we do in Florida and Georgia, you're going to have a little buffer up to 60 degrees, but certainly at 60 degrees Fahrenheit, your core body temperature is going to rise as you continue to exercise. And so to limit that amount of increase, you want to slow down your pace 30 seconds per mile for every 5 degrees of temperature increase above 60. And you want to adjust your run, walk, run. Because if you are, at 60 degrees, legitimately running a 12-minute per mile pace, then by 70 degrees, you need to be at 13 minutes per mile, and at 80 degrees, 14 minutes per mile. And adjusting the run, walk, run to make sure that you stay at those slower paces also lowers your core body temperature increase.
And you're saying that even doing that, you're still getting the training benefits by even making those adjustments.
Absolutely.
Because of the heat.
You will get all of the maintenance effect based on the miles covered. Now, the one difference, as I mentioned before, is if you're doing speed work, it's just risky to do it on a hot day. I mean, there are just a number of deaths that occur due to that every year, and they're preventable. So the speed work should be scheduled at a time when it's really the lowest temperature of the day. And then you also need to bring your ice chest full of ice water, and that can usually mitigate that temperature increase.
When is it appropriate to take it indoors on a treadmill?
Well, there are a lot of different individual issues with treadmills.
Dana does not like a treadmill. So,
you know, I have an e-coach client who lives in Las Vegas. And, of course, it gets brutally hot out there during the summertime. So he does his long runs indoors, but it's still 75 to 80 degrees indoors. So you just have to look at what the conditions are and make your adjustments there. Mm-hmm. But certainly, if it's above 85 degrees, and in some cases above 80 degrees, if you've got a much cooler indoor environment at a health club or something, then I would recommend doing it.
Okay. Well,
it's great stuff.
Fantastic advice.
And we can link to the article where you talk about all of these tips and tricks that you've been talking about today, just to recap and review for anybody who wants to see it, up on jeffgalloway.com.
Absolutely.
Super.
Now, I understand, Jeff, we have some cause to celebrate.
We do.
Well, I think so. I mean, my birthday is on July 12th, which obviously is coming up. And I wanted to invite people into a birthday challenge. And so what I came up with is something that has the numbers 7 and 5 in them, because 75th birthday. And so what I set up first, which is going on now, but you can still join, is a 75-mile challenge during the month of July. And so that just means that you accumulate 75 miles walking or running and during the whole month. So all walking steps count towards that. Mm. And second challenge is done on my birthday itself. And there are actually three challenges there. The first one is a 7.5-mile challenge. And the second challenge is one that I had to go back to my roots and find something that had a 75 in it that was meaningful to me. Well, when I first started running, it was all about running around the track.
Yeah.
And the greatest source of achievement for us in that era was being able to run more laps. And so I actually built up in high school laps around a track. And I remember to this day the exhilaration I had of being able to do that. So what I was a 75 challenge, but you don't have to run on a track. You just have to get the equivalent of 75 quarter mile laps, and that is 18.5 miles. So that's the other challenge. And then there's a third challenge that's a relay. So you can recruit friends to cover the 7.5 miles or the 18.75 miles.
So on jeffgalloway.com, there's a button that says your 75th birthday challenge. And if you click on that, you get to find that 75-mile challenge in July.
Well, there are going to be some fun things we do on social media and some fun prizes and things. So go there and check it out. And I'd love to have you help me celebrate my birthday. This would be a wonderful thing that we're inviting people to do around the world. And we literally do have people from around the world doing it.
Well, we've already registered, so we're in for 75 miles in July.
Yes. Right. And all of the challenges are just $19. And you can print a little bib, too.
A little more motivation.
Yeah. There's a little bib you can print, and on the running challenge there's a link to where you can submit all your miles. And I just love the motivational aspect that comes from registering for the challenge and committing and having a time-bound goal to achieve and celebrating somebody who has been so instrumental and so inspirational to us over the years as we started running so much later in life.
Well, I just appreciate your support. And as you know, I want to help people improve the quality of their lives. And in this era right now, we can't run in events. And so this is a way to challenge yourself a little bit, but it's a doable challenge.
Yeah. And I also notice on your website, as we're looking, there's the birthday challenge, but then also there is the retro Jeff Galloway series.
Yes. We, as you know, because y'all are veterans and supporters of my Jeff Galloway 13.1 and the Barb Galloway 5K December, we have good medals. And we have a number of people that have run one or two of the races but didn't have them all. So we're having a retro challenge now in which you can do on a given day 13.1 miles and win my half marathon medal, the medal that you don't have, or the medals that you don't have. And if you want to win Barb's 5K medal, you can do the same thing.
That is fantastic. And speaking from experience of being what we have a picture from last December of me holding up a sign that says, Jeff made me do it, but we also have a sign that says, I'm a legacy. And I can tell you, having all of those medals, those are all special, all unique, all beautiful. And
good memories.
Yes, and so worth it.
And your race, and Barb's, I mean, truthfully, are two of our favorites in terms of the courses themselves. They're both beautiful. They give you such a diversity in terms of scenery and terrain and a little bit of elevation. And even though you love to say you finish lower than you start, I always laugh when you say that because I'm like, that's a hilly, hilly course in Atlanta. But it's so much fun.
It is.
And we're looking forward to doing that again and hopefully this year.
We're working on it, and we are working hard with our security advisor, Colonel Mock, to put together the safest type of an event that we have ever heard of being conducted. So we're hoping that we're going to have our authorities by that time to permit us to do that, but we will go along with the guidelines.
Of course, of course.
Well, fingers crossed for your planning and logistics. We'll be looking forward to hearing more from you in the coming months as you let all of us Galloway runners know if we can converge.
And we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us about the hot weather running tips. We will make it through the summer and we will feel like we have achieved goals and maintained training and motivation. And for talking with us about your birthday challenge and your retro Jeff Galloway series, we just have to say to you, congratulations on the newest addition to your family.
Thank you.
We wish you, we are so happy to wish you a 75th birthday full of running, love, family, and life. And we will be running this weekend to honor you and also to celebrate our 22nd wedding anniversary.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
Well, thank you so much.
So thank you for taking the time to talk with us and share yourself with the Runcation Nation. We love you, Jeff.
Any way that I can, y'all are doing a great job. And you know how much I appreciate what you're doing and your support of all of us.
I love talking with Jeff.
He's been such an inspiration. I just can't tell you. The first Run Disney Expo where we saw him changed my life.
Well, mine too, because I've been running ever since.
Because we were, we had started running before we found his method.
Right. But we were doing it poorly, and we were hating life.
Yeah, we were on the struggle bus.
All the time.
All the time.
We had our own seats.
Yeah, on the struggle bus. But he made it so that we could achieve goals.
Absolutely.
And he has been inspiring us ever since.
Well, what kills me is he's 75 years old. You'll go out to a race where he's there. He'll have two bottles of D-Fizz Coca-Cola in his shorts pockets. He's doing like a, what is it? What's his interval? 15-15?
We didn't check in with him about that when we talked to him today.
I mean, the last time.
But usually 15-15.
Yeah, 15 seconds running, 15 seconds walking.
Qualified
and he's
for Boston with that.
Smoking people out there that are running it the whole way. It's unbelievable to see. And he'll stop and talk to you.
Oh, he'll take a picture. We have a picture from the Anchorage Run Fest with him.
Anchorage Run Fest, Donna. Yeah. California.
Oh, yeah. So, we saw him on the Star Wars course.
Yep.
We were coming mile 2, mile 3. He was at mile 9.
Right.
And we just, it's an out and back kind of thing. So.
It's inspiring. And it's also a little angering when you're like, man, he's fast.
For you, but everybody has their own race.
Oh,
their
I
own
know.
Pace.
I'm just kidding.
You just want to be like him.
Oh, I do.
Like, you just want to be on the ball. I hope that when we are 75, we will still be running safely like he is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I can't encourage anybody enough to go to jeffgalloway.com and join the 75th birthday celebration. We opted in for the 75 miles, but you could also opt in for that 7.5 miler on his birthday, since you're kind of going to do that, you know, when you can for in the upcoming week. So.
Well, yeah, you could.
You could, technically.
I'm probably not in addition to the 75 miles, but you know, we'll see.
No, be a bear, be a grizzly. No.
Well, we've got a lot of miles up this month.
And yeah, we do.
I'll get my 75 in.
It's
for
true.
Sure.
I'm not going to push you.
Yeah, she's like, oh, do more. Like,
no. No. Yes, we have signed up for the 75 mile for July. That's good.
That's plenty. That's
Happy
a lot of
birthday,
celebrating.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
I mean, maybe if I had a Garmin fitness watch or something
you never know.
Measure my run, I could do some extra running to test it.
Yeah, you think? You know, in addition to your Apple Watch?
I'm saying this because I've got that on my wish list, and I'm not allowed to buy stuff for myself right now.
You're in the window, buddy.
I'm in the gift window.
In the gift window. Yeah, I know you have an Apple Watch, and I know that is great. But, you know, you're in the gift window. So stay tuned and find out if he ever gets a Garmin.
So we are going to have links to jeffgalloway.com. And we're also going to have specific links to his own article on dealing with the heat.
Yeah.
He's got great tips there. He covered a lot of the broad strokes, but he does get into some other stuff in a little more detail. And definitely check out the links to his 75th birthday challenge.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a great virtual to do.
I can't. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Really. We love you.
So.
We know we also love eating.
We do.
And
that's why we run.
Drinking. Yeah, that's why we run too. Eat and drink. And our eating and drinking portions, they come from Dunedin Brewery this week. Because that was just a hop, skip, and a jump from where we were staying in Clearwater.
Yes, it was literally 10 minutes down the road. And I said, let's just head on over and check it out. And it was a brewery that we were introduced to way back during, I want to say, the first year of the podcast.
Episode number 14, which recapped the Fit Foodie Run. As you recall, during the first year of our podcast. You know, this year, COVID.
Yes.
That year, Irma.
Right.
And the Fit Foodie Run.
We basically run between disasters.
Yeah, we just, yeah. So, Hurricane Irma.
Follow us to the next one, folks. Come on. there's the next t-shirt for the store.
No. So, we had Hurricane Irma, and we were supposed to do the Fit Foodie Run in September of 2017. But it was delayed to December of 2017 because of the Hurricane Irma.
Right.
So, that was in the Clearwater area.
Yes, it was in downtown Clearwater. Yes. And it was in the coldest part of the year here in Florida, which
Coachman
I know
Park.
People up in the north will laugh, but when it gets into the 40s down here and it's raining, it's miserable.
And that's what the conditions on the ground were that day. Ugh. But we made it through a 5K, and then we were introduced in the Runner's Village post-race to Dunedin Brewery.
Yes.
And we have video during that first year in episode 14, and that's on the Runny Drink podcast website at runnydrink.net. You can actually see us talk about the beer with someone from the brewery.
Yeah, they had a little table set up. Like, they had tents, but the tents were literally getting blown away.
Yeah, it was tough. I think their tent was pretty stable, though, which was great. And Mike Graff from sales and distribution of Dunedin Brewery.
At that time,
chatted with us about the American peach, the apricot peach American wheat beer. Sorry. That's a mouthful, so I got it right. Okay. Yeah. So, but we discovered at Dunedin Brewery when we went this time so much. It was so beautiful there, and they have food.
Yeah, they have a surprising kitchen that is serving up really elevated bar food is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
And that's everything from fresh house-made pork rinds.
I want those.
Buttermilk fried pickles. They do their own take on nachos where they do blue corn chips, hot beer cheese that they make in-house.
Yum.
With a sriracha drizzle.
Oh my gosh.
They have a southern-style poutine.
I want that,
with
too.
With pulled pork.
Yeah.
Fish tacos, of course, if you're down in Florida, fish tacos are kind of a thing down here that you can get almost everywhere.
Yeah, but the brew house bratwurst is what I want to try.
Yeah.
I want to go back in October.
Oh, yeah.
Where we can have the celebrate Oktoberfest. Although we can celebrate year-round, I guess, if we go back.
Yeah, but they have a locally made bratwurst, and they do a house brewery fermented sauerkraut, and they serve it on a pretzel bun.
Yum.
That's going to be amazing. But we opted, when we went over there, we just wanted to get a little bite, a little, you know, something to snack on.
Yeah.
And we decided to get their pretzel bites. And if you've listened to the show for any length of time, we get pretzels fairly often.
Pretzels
here.
And beer cheese, yeah. It's a staple.
But this is unique.
Like charcuterie.
Because they do theirs fried. They deep fry their pretzel bites.
Amazing. They're pictured in our album artwork for this episode this week. And I'll probably share them throughout the week as well with like this whole, let's just get in the car. just get in the car.
Yeah. And these,
because they're so good,
are some of the best that I think that we've done on the show of 4 years of doing the show.
Yeah.
There's something about the treatment of the pretzel dough and deep frying it that we've never experienced before. It gives the exterior. Normally with a pretzel, you get, you know, a slightly crispy exterior.
You do.
But a dense interior. This gave you a very crunchy exterior and an almost pillowy interior, but with that same pretzel flavor.
It was so good.
They were very crunchy.
They were darker on the exterior than you normally see. Typically, you would have like a lighter brown, medium brown kind of texture.
Almost a nut brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was darker.
good bit darker. Mm-hmm. But that said,
the inside
is perfect and not. Ugh. And you would think because they're deep fried, you would expect them to be oily or greasy. They weren't.
No.
At all.
No. I mean, they're like really shiny on the outside, which would lead you to believe that.
But most pretzels are because they're also going to do, you're going to hit like them with butter and then salt them.
Yeah. So I think that is because they had the buttery flavor and the salt and the crunch of the exterior, but the pillowy inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so good. I don't even, you know, just tasting them alone. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that there's some science behind it where they talk about, you know, sure. if somebody who knew what they were talking about would say, you know, the high heat causes more steam to form inside and it makes the dough, you know, create these air pockets because the steam's science? Forming. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just making that up as I go, but it sounds good.
But look, there was beer cheese.
They do a white beer cheese that was a bit spicy. It had some kick to it, like a. I don't know if they had a diced pepper in it or if they were using a little bit of cayenne.
Something.
But it actually preserved the flavor of the beer very nicely.
And I don't know. We were failures there where we didn't ask which beer they used.
Well, we were also. Victims. We also were limited in the amount of contact we had with our servers.
That's true.
Unlike most tap rooms where you could go because of us going right now, you would get greeted out at the front. They would take you to one of their seats outdoors. The server would come by. They would take your order for beer, for mm-hmm. food.
Yeah.
They may drop it. Somebody else may drop it, but there wasn't a lot of lingering at the table.
Right. Conversation. So, and then.
Yeah, we just didn't get a lot of opportunity to, like we would normally do with the beer tender at the mm-hmm. bar and talk to them and all that. So we didn't get a chance to really do that.
They were very nice. They were very accurate. They were spot on as far as following any kind of guidelines to stay safe.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but social distancing was in effect.
Yeah, we didn't want them to.
Capacity of the restaurant was in effect.
We didn't want them to linger where they didn't need to. And I'm just going to tell you, I loved the tang of the mustard that came with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They did the sweet mustard, like a sweet and sharp mustard that had some of their beer in it as well. It was just phenomenal.
It was tangy. I think there was like a stone ground kind of thing mm-hmm. going on in there because you can see the flecks in the photograph.
Yep.
And I'm just going to tell you, you break open one of the pretzel bites. And then you kind of, you dip one into the cheese, have one part of it with the cheese, and you get like that tangy goodness from the warm cheese dip. And then you get the sweet and different tang from the mustard if you dip the other piece in there. And they soak up on the inside, and it's just, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah. The way I described this mustard when we were sitting there, I said, you know what this is? I said, this is the spicy mustard that you get at McDonald's with your chicken McNuggets, but it's grown up.
Yes.
It's an adult version of that.
It's and so if you can, elevated.
And if you've
so
ever elevated. Eaten chicken, and listen, we know we've got some food snobs out there in the Runcation Nation. It's okay. We are your people. We feel you.
Yeah.
But we've all had that afternoon where we just sit with a box of 20 chicken nuggets and go through each of the dipping sauces. It's happened to everybody, whether it's a bad day at work,
what?
A breakup, whatever. We've all had that.
Okay.
And you know that mustard sauce that I'm talking about.
Like the hot mustard
sauce? The hot mustard sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is similar to that, but imagine if that was made with amazing ingredients.
Oh, so good.
So
I
want
to go
back.
I want to have the bratwurst. I want to have the poutine. I want to have the pork rinds.
You're going to have to run a lot of miles.
I think maybe we could have a pre-run meal here and be so satisfied. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, absolutely.
So good.
And they even do a buffalo cauliflower here that's buttermilk battered with a buffalo drizzle.
And they offer...
That looked incredible.
They offer vegetarian and vegan options too.
They do, including with their burgers, they're offering the Beyond Beef vegan patties there.
And the bratwurst, because Beyond...
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They would do that.
I know. I'm almost curious to order that just to kind of see.
We should have a side-by-side. Well, like, we should get, like, the Beyond version and the regular version and compare and contrast.
Very interesting.
Yes. So my eyes are definitely bigger than my stomach, of course.
This would not be one visit. No. What I also liked about this place is that, of course, you know, being the guy that shows up here in a kilt, you walk in and you're basically greeted with the flag of Scotland.
Yes.
You walk into the brewery itself, and on the left there's the bar, and behind the bar they've got the wall, and then to kind of to your right, like back in the back of the brewery, are the tanks. Mm-hmm. They've got all their awards hanging up, and they're actually hanging their awards over the door on a claymore sword.
And the, so cool.
And the medals are hanging on the blade of the sword. It's just really cool. And the tap room itself is just super cool, but they have a great outdoor seating space, which is where we were at, which is under shade and, you know, plenty of space.
Oh, it was actually good in the shade.
Yeah.
At the time of day we were there. And it was just, I mean, the food was amazing. The atmosphere, the accuracy, the friendliness of the staff, even though they were adhering to all the guidelines, just amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But before we go on, let's talk a little bit about our patrons. You know, those folks who've decided to commit to helping us keep the lights on here at the Runny Drink Podcast. You guys are amazing.
They support us so much.
Fact of the matter is, this is a passion project. It's something that we're going to do no matter what, and we cannot thank you enough just for listening. So we are super grateful, even if you don't spend a dime. The fact that we have folks that are willing, though, to become patrons and help support the show means the world to us. And we set up our patron levels at patreon.com/runeatdrinkpodcast, and you can become a fan, a founder, or an insider for $2, $5, or $10. Each of those levels has its own special perks. Mm-hmm. They get you a little extra thank you from us for supporting the show in that way. And we have those exact same levels set up over on
Podbean as well.
Patron program. So if you're a Podbean user and you want to stay in that ecosystem, you can do it right there without having to get out of the app. Just click on the button at the top of our podcast page, say become a patron, and you get the same options as we would have over on Patreon. But regardless of which one you choose, fan, founder, or insider, you get some special perks that go along with those levels.
Yes. You get a shout out on the show regardless of the level.
Yes.
And for the founders and insiders that are at the $5 and $10 level, they get their names in light.
We have a special page set up at runnydrink.net/patron wall, and you can go right there and see the list of patrons who have contributed at the founder and insider level.
Yes.
And, you know, that's in addition to the shout out on a show. And then, of course, for the insiders, the folks that pick that $10 a month level, we kind of go the extra mile. Send them a handwritten thank you. We will have some extra video content for them, give them some insider information, interviews, recipes, you name it. We're coming up with new stuff for the insiders all the time.
Yes. I mean, some of the interviews that we have had, so great, so special, inspirational, or informational.
And we have some more coming.
And we have some more coming, and we have some big ideas for future content, because we want you to get the value by supporting our show.
And we want to be able to take the show to the next level. Yeah. That's ultimately the reason for doing this. So yes, yeah, it helps keep the lights on and mm-hmm. helps us keep us doing what we're doing.
But it helps us go further.
But ultimately it's to go further.
Yes.
And to do bigger and better things for you guys.
So you can find out more at patreon.com/runny drink podcast. And we cannot thank you enough for being patrons of the Runny Drink Podcast.
And if you're on Podbean, it's patron.podbean.com/runnydrinkpodcast, or just click on the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. Thank you guys for supporting us. We cannot thank you enough for all that you guys are doing.
Really appreciate it. I'm thirsty, man.
All right. Well, we were at a brewery, so where better to get a beverage than at the brewery?
And I was looking so forward to it, having experienced this beer at the Fit Foodie Run back in episode 14 of our show. We're at 121. It's amazing.
Are you going to steal my thunder?
What?
You're going to steal my beer.
No, no, no. No, I take it away. Oh, humble co-host craft services person.
Well, since we shared beers, we can actually talk about them.
That is true.
We did the apricot peach fruit wheat beer back in episode 14, and I did it again because it was warmer weather. When I see the flavors of apricot or peach, especially in hot weather, that's one I just tend to gravitate towards, and that's what I went with. And I like wheat beers anyway. Forget a fruited wheat beer. Just if they just did a standard like American wheat, I would have been all over that. But apricot peach wheat, 6.2% ABV, slight hints of apricot and peach, and that's both in the aroma and on the palate without being a cloyingly sweet beer. It gave you... after you swallowed, you got more of the peach on the swallow and you got more of the apricot in the nose. Just a fantastic light to medium body wheat beer. Not a lot of hop bitterness at all. This really was mainly pushing or celebrating the malt flavor of the wheat itself and giving you those essences of the fruit. And it's just a great hot weather beer for me.
Well, when I was able to have some.
I shared.
I know you did. We shared. We traded. That I just got the fruit, the refreshment, all that you talk about. But I got some kind of buttery flavor.
Yeah, this is one that you and I differed on. I didn't
but it's
get
great.
This. Yeah.
I loved it. It was like it was almost like an apricot dessert tart. You know, when you have the buttery flakiness mm-hmm. of that tart crust.
Right.
That's kind of the flavor I was getting.
I wish I'd gotten that. That sounds amazing.
It was great.
My palate's broken.
It's not, I don't think your palate's broken. I think it's just people experience different tastes and flavors.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's not like it was a dessert beer or it was super syrupy or cloyingly sweet, like you said. I got that essence of butteriness. And it was still refreshing, still a great fruit wheat beer. And I think it could sneak up on you.
Oh, at 6.2, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, would you call this a dessert beer?
No.
Yeah, me either.
No, because I think I could have it with the brat that I want to go have. And it wouldn't weigh my stomach down.
No.
If I was going to have, like, say, a heavier appetizer kind of offering like the poutine. On their menu.
Oh, right. Yeah. Actually, I think that would go really nicely with the poutine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if I would choose it for the bratwurst. I might choose the one that I had for the bratwurst.
I was going to say the one that you ordered screamed, get me a hot dog or a bratwurst.
Yeah, because it was it's like a lighter offering.
You might call it light as
air.
air.
They call it air. You know they have it in cans up there?
No.
Yeah, man. We should
How did I miss that?
We should have brought some home. I was looking at their website and they have cans. Maybe they didn't have them at the time that we were up there, though. I didn't look hard enough when I went inside to check out everything that was awesome on the inside that you talked about with their awards on the swords and so cool. But I would have brought home if I had known there were cans in the building of this Air American Pilsner.
Yes.
And a 16-ounce pour was $6. It was 4.2 ABV. Now, the apricot peach was like a darker golden color.
And closer, I would say closer to a medium-bodied beer.
Yes. This one was a super light body, very like high carbonation in the body of it, in the mouthfeel. You got the essence, the carbonation.
And the color on this was like a lighter gold.
The color, yeah, was so much lighter. It was, kind of like the Moosehead we have
like
as opposed to
a pale yellow.
Like a pale yellow. And it's lower in ABV, so it's more sessionable than, say, the apricot peach.
Yes.
At 4.2 ABV. But it was crisp. It was light. It was clean. It had just that kind of lighter bready note.
Bready? Now, when you say bready...
Not like weigh you down kind of bready.
No, I was going to say like with Pilsners, with a lot of, because you're on a light beer kick for the last few months.
For the summer?
As the summer's.
And the hot weather?
Here and the hot weather.
Yeah.
You're liking a lot of these Pilsners that are, and lagers that are giving you bread and biscuit and bread
cracker,
dough notes
and cracker notes. Yes. And I think that this had like a cracker note in terms of the bread flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just light, and I think that it would go great with that bratwurst.
I think that beer with anything that's going to be heavier, like say a burger, a brat, the poutine, would be fine. My beer would go well in terms of the flavor pairing, I think, with some of those. But at 6.2 ABV I would go with poutine.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would, personally.
Okay.
But
not the nachos.
Well, no, but because I think that when you start getting, like, their Southern-style poutine has pulled pork, and you start pairing flavors of peach and pork, that is really, really good together.
So true.
But what I thought was interesting about our beers, and we didn't talk about price on mine, but mine is a higher ABV.
Yeah.
But it's a dollar less per pour.
But why do you think that is?
Well, I'm guessing it's because of the cost of the
ingredients. Yeah.
Because they're using, you know, more hops and other malts than they are with the wheat.
But usually you'll see higher ABV, higher cost.
Usually.
Yeah.
So interesting to see that. Your choice was fantastic. I mean, that one is a perfect hot weather beer.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great is that area over there, you've got Dunedin Brewery. You've got two other breweries in walking distance there. And we're going to be talking about one of those on the show coming up.
Great. Can't wait.
So if you were to start here with, you know, maybe a brat and this Air American Pilsner, then you could go to one of the other locations and go with a more medium bodied. And then, you know, in the night at a third brewery with something like a good barrel aged stout.
Yeah. And their menu has a lot of variety. Their beer menu. Their food menu, yes. We talked about that in the eating portion of our show.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the beer menu has a lot of variety. And I can't wait until you can have a flight to experience that. Like, we can go back and have a flight, because there was a brown ale, there was an amber ale, there were IPAs, a couple of different IPAs, a farmhouse ale, an oatmeal stout.
And they're... chocolate-covered cherry imperial stout with fruit at 12% ABV.
Yeah.
Your, by the way, your selection, Air, is the lowest ABV beer yeah. that they offer on yeah. the menu.
Yeah. So I just, I mean, it has such variety. I want to experience all of that. And I can't wait until we can go back and have different beers
yes.
and different selections from the menu, the food menu. But, I mean, I can't wait until you can have a flight. In some places, you just can't have a flight right now.
Right.
Because of regulations and rules, local and state government.
A lot of places are going to yeah. disposable cups. Mm-hmm. And they're
to be safe.
They're just
totally you
know, doing single pours only. We get it.
Yeah. Or alternatively, going up there and getting some cans to bring home.
Right.
And try would be awesome.
That would be acceptable.
But I next week when we talk about the other brewery and the food truck that we experienced up there in Dunedin, I think it would be great to go stay up there and actually do their running trail. So.
Well, what we didn't mention is that they are darn near adjacent to a 40-mile-long linear park.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. we can do any distance of our runs along that linear park
yeah.
and begin and end at these breweries. So lots of options.
Yeah.
We'll be bringing you more from this area, so stay tuned for that.
Totally. But I think as far as the food and beverage for this episode, it's a great little tip if you're ever in the Clearwater and Dunedin areas.
Yeah. This is a suburb of Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're kind of in that area. So if you're in Central Florida on the Gulf Coast, pencil Dunedin into your itinerary and make sure you make it over there for an afternoon.
Great stuff.
It'll be worth your while.
Great stuff.
Well, Aim, this gets us towards the end, but
yeah.
I have some news.
What is your news?
We got another review on iTunes.
We did. I was so excited about this. I was, dare I say, you know me, a little emotional.
Almost in tears.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
I was.
Our friend, whoever this might be, Jogger19.
Whoever you are.
Thank you, Jogger19, for leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. And it says, I really wanted to give this a review because this is such an inspirational podcast. I found it looking for race recaps from the past to get through these troubling times. I happened to come across this one and it did the trick. I'm now a loyal listener and cannot thank you guys enough for the positivity you bring to the world, especially right now. Jogger19, we cannot yeah. thank you enough for saying that. That is probably one of the sweetest things that we've heard all week. And certainly one of the best things I've heard all day.
Oh, and I just love the title of the whole review because they make you do a title for Apple Podcasts,
uh-huh.
you know, and some people are just like great show or, but this title, it says, this is such a positive podcast. I absolutely love it.
Well, that's our goal. Thank you for noticing.
It's amazing. And I'm glad that our back catalog is satisfying some need. Now that a lot of races have gone virtual.
And giving people stuff to research and maybe plan for when things stop being
right.
all virtual.
Some things to look forward to. So anybody out there who can give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, we really appreciate it because it helps the Runcation Nation grow.
So we can't thank you enough, Jogger19. And if you guys are so inclined to head over to iTunes and leave us a rating and review, we can't thank you enough as well.
Yeah, it's a great free way to help us grow the show and our community.
Yeah, and don't forget, if you love what you hear and you want to help us keep the lights on, you can become a patron and support the show. There are multiple levels starting from $2 heading up to $10, each with their own special perks. Find out more and support the show at patreon.com/runeatdrinkpodcast or on Podbean by going to patron.podbean.com/runeatdrinkpodcast. Or if you're in the Podbean ecosystem, just click on our podcast page at the top. There's a button for becoming a patron.
And we can't thank you all enough for all the different ways that you support the show. Thank you for coming along with us on your long run, your commute to work, whatever you're doing around the house, wherever you are.
We don't care where you listen. Just listen.
Yeah. We can't thank you enough for listening to us. For now, I'm your host, Amy.
And I'm your co-host, Dana.
Stay safe, stay well, and we will talk to you with another great show really soon. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Run, Eat, Drink podcast. We're having another great year thanks to your support. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're at Run, Eat, Drink podcast. And on Twitter, we're Run, Eat, Drink pod. You can also give us a call at 941-677-2733 or send us an email at info@runeatdrink.net. Visit our website at runeatdrink.net and click on the subscribe link so you don't miss a minute. Find out how you can support the show at patreon.com/runeatdrinkpodcast. Accomplish, explore, and indulge right along with us. We'll talk to you next time.